Welcome on into First Take, everybody. Back where we belong, inside the Caesars Superdome. Jeff Nowak and Steve Geller getting you ready for the Saints preseason finale against the Tennessee Titans. Not only great to be back in the Dome, Jeff, but hallelujah, the preseason coming to an end today.
Yeah, I missed this place. I forgot how much I like this building.
It's we forgot where we were stationed,
yeah,
too.
But yeah, that's a whole other story. We did walk an extra like quarter mile around the field before we realized we were in the wrong place. But we're here now. That's the important thing. And so are some of the Saints players. Like, I think everyone will be in the building, but I don't expect to see a whole lot of starters on the field, or at least, you know, like Derek Carr, you know, Eric McCoy probably gets the day off. Guys like that, guys that, you know, aren't competing for positions, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, or don't necessarily, you wouldn't qualify them as guys who need every rep they can get, like a Trevor Penning or even a Taliese Fuaga. Like those guys I expect to be out there. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be the Saints we've seen to start the last 2 weeks.
Something I missed, obviously, with the open practice for fans on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, there was one on Tuesday and then there was
Friday.
One on Friday.
I'm sorry, Friday, yeah. Here. The days blend together.
But right.
Didn't get to see, obviously, some of the new amenities available for fans here in the Dome. And it was nice to walk by and kind of look at the new food menu. We saw that 40-yard length of bar that looks mighty impressive.
I could have used the shot. I didn't go out there with measuring tape, but I believe it when they tell me it's 40 yards long because it took a while to walk by that thing.
That's how we got distracted,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we were like, where are we? We just walked by a bar for 5 minutes. It's still going on. But no, there's some really cool stuff that they've added in here. I don't, you know, I'm on the field during the games. I don't get to enjoy
right.
a lot of the stuff that is happening up in the Loge level, but it seems like they've done a really good job with this.
Want to give a warning to fans, too, because of the construction that's going on around this area as they try to beautify the surrounding area of the Superdome for the upcoming Super Bowl. You might want to get into the area a little bit earlier, get your parking settled, find out which gate you have to go into,
yes.
Because it's a lot different. Especially with construction going on, we know what a nightmare it can be.
If you remember one thing getting to the building today, it should be go in the gate they tell you to go in, right? Like that's like the one thing you need to be 100% on, because otherwise, you know, it's really just a matter of whether you want to waste a lot of time or not. Go in the gate they tell you, because that's going to be a problem if you don't.
This hour, obviously, we're going to start breaking down what we expect to see from the Saints, what we want to see from the Saints this preseason finale. Also, some sound bites of linebacker Anthony Orji. I think he's got a roster spot pretty secure, but we'll get into some of his talk. And also from tight end Foster Moreau, some really eye-opening stuff from him. You can tell that this guy is a team leader and definitely one of the cuts I love. I think it was one of the camera guys asked him, are you the, you know,
accountability enforcer.
Nice. I love the term.
Yeah, except he disagrees. He just thinks he's the loudest. And I think that's probably true. Like, he's the guy that when we're out of practice, you hear someone yelling and you don't know who it is. And then you're like, yeah, that was Foster. Of course it was Foster. Who else would it be? He's the one who you can definitely hear. One time, there was refs out there one day. And he would refer to Carl Cheffers by his full name, and he'd be like, that's a terrible call, Carl Cheffers. And it was very funny.
Well, just so you know that I know who you are.
Yeah. I didn't even know, like, I appreciate it because I didn't know exactly which ref crew was out there until he started yelling at him my full name. And, like, that's just, it's kind of a funny thing because that does happen on the field, right? Like, you know these refs. I don't know if you've been watching the Hard Knocks at all for the Bears.
No, don't have Max. I'm lame.
I've been going through it a little bit, and, like, one of the meetings they had was, like, you know, you have to study the refs that are calling your games. You have to know what they like to call. And like, you, especially as a quarterback, and they were talking to Caleb Williams about this, especially as a quarterback, if you have a terrible relationship with the head umpire, that's going to follow your entire career. You want to get on their good side. And it's just kind of funny to see how these guys interact with the refs, because that is important. Like, that does matter. As much as you'd like to think, like, a human element doesn't factor in at all, objectively, 1,000% does, and that's true in any sport.
Well, yeah, like we just saw, what was it, the first preseason game or the second one where Bill Vinovich's staff was on hand and was like, that was the first time he had reffed a Saints game since the infamous
That was the Cardinals game that was in Arizona. It's the first time he's been on the field, and that's
right.
Why, like, hey, they overturned that touchdown for Spencer Rattler, and I was like, oh, man, Bill Vinovich, everyone's going to be a huge fan of his now. And no, that's not what's going to happen. But
do you think he ever comes back and does a game in the Dome?
I mean, at some point, no, I don't actually. You know, you'd think like at some point, especially in the playoffs, because they usually pick the highest graded crews. And that's the crazy thing about it is he's annually one of the highest graded umpires, like officials.
Right.
Yet he's enemy number one because of that moment and for good reason. And it's funny because like he's the, you know, and that one guy is kind of the figurehead of that group. He's not even the one that screwed up when you really look at it. He's just the one who had to announce it to the stadium.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's man, that's you know, don't get me started on that day.
Looking into this game, I know we're expecting, I think, the Titans starters to get some run in this game, but not so much from the black and gold side of things.
Yeah, yeah, like we were talking about, Derek Carr, I think Nick Underhill reported this. He's usually pretty quick on those. He's not going to go. A handful of starters aren't going to go. So I'd expect Eric McCoy. Cesar Ruiz probably gets the day off. Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, I'd be surprised to see those guys out there. But, you know, Jamal Williams, I think this is going to be a game.
Probably Taysom, too. No Taysom.
Taysom, I wouldn't expect to see. I think this is going to be a game where you highlight the players who are competing for those final roster spots. I think there's about 9, give or take, depending on how you break up the positions, 9 roster spots that could still be won in terms of you don't know exactly who's going to fill them yet. Like there's a handful at wide receiver. Do you go with a guy like Jordan Mims or James Robinson? You know, at linebacker, I would have originally slotted DeMarco Jackson in there, but he had an injury late in the week. So does that open the door for a Khalik Hudson, a Monty Rice, someone like that? Is there any question as to the specialists? I think punter is probably the biggest question, even though people are really excited about Charlie Smith. I think Blake Groupie is that guy. And so, yeah, I think that's who you're going to see. And the question is, who starts a quarterback? That's the biggest question, because I had someone come at me and be like, hey, well, they've been alternating, so it's definitely going to be Jay Kaner because that's how they've been doing it. I disagree with that. I think you're past the point where you're worried about equal reps. Whoever starts this game, that's a statement. Because you're starting with a handful of ones.
Yeah, right.
And I think that you should be looking at this as an opportunity to get whoever your backup quarterback's going to be live reps with at least a handful of the starters that they would be expected to play with, right? And so if it's Jay Kaner, I look at that as, hey, if you can go out there and have a good performance, you can win that job. If you go out there and don't have a good performance, if you look shaky like he did in the preseason finale last year, then I think you open the door. But either way, I think whoever starts this game, you're giving them the opportunity to either win or lose the job. And then the guy behind him, his job is to go in there and play as well as he can. And if that door is left open, maybe step through it. But I do think that whoever starts this game at quarterback is a statement. It's not just, okay, we're getting these guys equal reps.
And when you mention, like, obviously a quarterback getting some run with the ones, that's basically on the offensive line. There's not really anybody else, I think, that's getting any looks from your first team in this preseason.
It depends what you call the ones, right? Like obviously, like you look at the receivers are Rashid Shaheed and Olave, but there's other receivers who are going to make your roster who would be expected to play, right?
So absolutely, yeah.
So you see a guy like Cedric Wilson, I got there with an A.T. Perry above means, and how they work together is important too. So I also think you're going to have some first-team offensive linemen.
See, I think AT is one of those guys still fighting for that roster spot along with Bub.
I agree. I think that he's a guy that has not had taken a step forward other than that first preseason game, which he always seems to show up in the game. So that's something to put in his column. But I don't think he's had a particularly strong set of practices. So do you err on the side of a Bub means, Equanimeous St. Brown, a veteran who maybe you have a little bit more faith in to go out there and block at a high level.
And he wasn't around early on, too, for dealing with injury. And it's nice to see him back in the mix.
Yeah, he missed the first preseason game, but he's back now. He had a hamstring issue that kept him out for about a week and a half. But he was out there against the 49ers. Didn't really do much, right? So I think that's kind of where you are is, okay, who can make plays, right? Who can force the coaching staff to start to talk about them, both on the offense and the defense? Right? A guy like Isaiah Foskey, I don't think his roster spot's in jeopardy because when you're a second-year player, a second-round pick, I think just going out there and doing the work is enough to keep you around. Hint, hint. Running back, there's a particular player that was a third-round pick from last year who has not been able to do that, and I think that is a separator when you're talking about a higher draft pick. If you're out there working and developing, you're gonna get looked at more sympathetically from a roster perspective than a guy who just hasn't been out there. And we've heard Dennis Allen be pretty vocal about, we just don't know, and I'm talking about Kendre Miller here, we just don't know what he can be expected to do, where he can be expected to impact this offense. Can he pick up the system? Does this work for him? We just don't know, and is that enough to secure your roster spot that's a question. I would expect him to start on IR and you go from there.
The worst hamstring injury in the history of hamstring injuries.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be pretty significant, right? He's been out a month. Like, legit, a month. That's like, a long time.
Did they get into team drills or was still individual stuff?
No, they were doing the drills where they, like, run through cones and stuff. And, like, the tackling thing that, like, hits you in the face you run through it. Like, that sort of stuff. Like, that's what they were doing.
Oh, my leg.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Especially knowing what we know and the conversations that have been had around, like, hey, we need this guy to do the work, stay healthy, and then to have that happen immediately. That's an easy – it's a very quick way to gain some frustration and criticism from the coaching staff, I think.
And it was definitely one of those where you can't – Dennis Allen couldn't hide it. It was pretty clear that he's aggravated with the situation.
Yeah, and I mean, should he hide it? Like, that's my question. Like, I saw some of the reaction.
He didn't even
try
to play it off,
like,
though.
Like, why would you kind of throw a young player under the bus for repeated injuries? And I understand that, but it's not really about the injuries. It's about, like – how do you evaluate a player that you haven't seen?
Right.
And
he's talking about college footage for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, and like, this is something that happened last year, right? Like, he came in injured, which obviously you can't do anything about that. They chose to draft him despite that injury. Then he got hurt early in the season, missed a game or two. Then he got hurt again in week 9 and missed the next, I don't know, 8 weeks, right, with an ankle injury that I think you probably wouldn't have expected to be an 8-week ankle injury. Right, and he came back in week 18, looked good.
Yeah, teased us all in that
looked
finale.
Looked like the player that you were like, I understand why they drafted
right,
him.
Right, going
now.
Into next year, woo, we look but like we got some a guy that can run with Alvin.
It can't just be that. Like, you got to have more, and so we'll see. I don't expect him to be out there today.
No, we haven't seen him at all.
And the question is now, how do you approach that situation, right? Do you, you know, for a guy like Jordan Mims, for example, who's going to be out
IR,
here.
You say IR, maybe physically, the PUP list, the physically unable
no,
to perform
you,
list?
No, you won't be on the PUP list. I think... there's rules with the PUP list. I don't want to get into it, but the rule changes for the NFL made this year regarding IR.
Yeah.
One of them is you can designate two players as long as they're on your reserve list prior to the season. You can designate two players to be kind of early IR ads.
Yeah.
So rather than in the past, you would have to say, okay, I don't want to cut Kendre Miller, but I do want to put him on IR. You would have to carry him through cutdowns, and you would have to, you know, say Adam Prentice. It's always the fullback I go to because no one's claiming the fullback, right? So it's like you would say, okay, Adam, we're going to cut you, but don't go anywhere. Like, don't you know, try to get your security deposit back. We're going to bring you back, but
right. We
have to wait a day before we can put Kendre on IR or whoever it is on IR. Now you have the ability to do that beforehand, which saves you kind of that annoying process. I think Dwayne Washington was a player a couple years ago that was like, he got cut and everyone would be like, hey guys, don't overreact to this. He's not going anywhere. And I think the next day he was in the locker room.
Right, exactly.
Like, it was like, I guess he's coming back, you know? So that's going to be a question with a guy like Kendre. And then you look at Nick Saldivari is another guy who's been out with an injury for a long time. Trajan Jeffcoat.
Yeah, you mentioned
could
South
still
of
end up
that's
on IR.
That's a name. It's like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot
day
about
two of
him.
Camp. Day two of camp. And then he stuck on the roster all the way up until Friday. And then they waived him on Friday with an injury designation, brought back Andrew Dell.
Right.
Who is a guy I expect to land on the practice squad and be active early in the season. And Cameron Johnson, I think his name is. Kid out
from
of Southern.
Southern, right.
Yes, defensive tackle. And so that's going to be those are guys who are going to be out here today. I think kind of trying to earn a practice squad spot. I think when you're added this late in camp, that's got to be the goal for you. You're not making the roster, but you have to show, hey, I have enough juice that you should want to keep me around.
When you talk about, obviously, these roster spots, a job opening that these guys are fighting for right now, how many do you feel are really still open at this point that guys are truly fighting for amongst the offense and defense? Yeah, I guess even special teams when it comes down to it.
Special teams is tough because a lot of the roster spots that you're saying are still being fought for would be guys that you expect to be strong special teams contributors, right? So it's not like, well, there's one special team spot that's there. Like, a guy like Stanley Morgan is really intriguing because, okay, do you have two or three wide receiver spots open? I'd say there are at least two wide receiver spots that you're trying to figure out behind Cedric Wilson, Rashid Shaheed, and Chris Olave.
Right.
But is there a third that's more of a special teams ace? Because if there is, then that's probably Stanley Morgan, who I think would come in as a special teams ace. I think there's one running back position, and it's going to come down to Jordan Mims or James Robinson. Maybe Jacob Cabote, if I'm misreading that, right? Offensive line, I think you have probably one, depending on how many you keep. Do you keep Kyle Hergel, a guy who's a UDFA, who's worked in with the first team, or do you keep Shane Lemieux, a veteran who I would I would think could play multiple positions, but based on what I saw at center against the 49ers, I'm not feeling great about that right now. So if he's only a backup guard, I'd rather keep the young guy. So that's kind of where you're at. Cornerback, safety, one or two guys are still trying to come out on top of that heap. You know, a guy like Jawan Williams who just showed up this week, but has a lot of intriguing potential. Can he show that it's like, hey, you guys want to keep me around? I'm 6'3", long arms, and I can make an impact. Yeah, so that's kind of where you are. I would say between 8 and 9 roster spots today could be determined by the performance out there.
One of those guys that's fighting for one of those roster spots, linebacker Anthony Orgie. We're going to hear from him when we get back from our break here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Coming back with more First Take right after the break here on WWL.